Take your Bibles and turn to the ninth chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. I begin reading in verse 1. The previous verses tell us that the world had developed a darkness that was so great that it was falling farther and farther and farther into the abyss. It is described as a troubling darkness, a dimness of anguish in verse 22 of the 8th chapter. They were driven into to greater degrees of darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness, the darkness was going to change and there was going to be a great and glorious light. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in the vexation, would at the time of the light. He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, or Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. This is not some carnal, tangible joy. It's a spiritual joy that he's talking about. Okay? This spiritual joy, like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of burden. And the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every battle of the war is with confused noise. The garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This ninth chapter gives us the fourth statement regarding Emmanuel. There are actually four Emmanuels in this one discourse, or this one oracle, this one prophecy given by the prophet Isaiah. And I guess one of my favorite, if not the favorite, aspect or characteristic of the majesty of Jesus Christ is his character with respect to light. These first few verses describe an illumination that Jesus would bring in his ministry, bring in being born in that barn in Bethlehem, that God being with us would provide us, the human race, great light. There's a wondrous light that was provided by the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. And we read in the fourth chapter of Matthew the fulfillment of these earlier passages in the ninth chapter. Now, I know there's a lot of people, they go through the Old Testament, they find some obscure passage of Scripture, and they try to provide some kind of bizarre interpretation. But when the New Testament tells us that there's a fulfillment being fulfilled in some work or some ministry or in the life of Jesus Christ, then that is the fulfillment of what the prophet said. And we read that in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It tells us clearly, verse 14 of that fourth chapter, he said that, let me back up to verse 13. It says, and leaving Nazareth, talking about Jesus, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we still preach that kind of gospel that provides light in the inner man.
Amen.
A gospel of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you go on and you read where he called out some of the apostles. And we read where that they were fishing on the fishing there in the Sea of Galilee. Go on down to verse 23. And since Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? What did he preach? How did they see the light? He said, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people, that they were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that had all these different diseases, they were healed. Jesus was healing them in this northern region of the area that is called Galilee of the Gentiles. In other words, Jesus' ministry started in one of the most dark regions of the area. Galilee was not only Galilee of the Gentiles, but it was a place of great darkness. Great darkness. But praise God, dawn came into the darkness. Light shined in that dark place. Now, I want to remind you of certain things that I said last week, and I'm not going to camp here very long. We have a lot of area to cover and a little time to do it in. But I do want to remind you that Jesus said in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount that the greatest darkness on the face of the earth is a soul without Him.
Amen.
I believe it's about verse 33. He said, if there be darkness within you, how great is that darkness? There's no greater darkness than the darkness on the inside of you. Listen, my friend, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never been born again, if you've never come beneath the crimson flow, if you've never had the Holy Spirit illuminate your insides to where you are awakened to your lost and ruined condition and brought to the foot of Calvary, you need to come and see the light of the world. He is the light of the world. This crescendo that we find of the word Emmanuel. This is just another statement concerning God being with us, found in the ninth chapter of Isaiah. It's a crescendo of the prophecy that actually began in chapter 7. Remember chapter 7 and verse 14? There we read about a virgin being with child, right? We read about not only the virgin birth, but we read about that this virgin birth would be God with us. That the child born of the Virgin Mary would be God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Emmanuel. And that's why he was able to provide light. He provided light to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the most corrupted by Galilee was one of the most corrupted areas. They were corrupted by the Gentiles. They were led captive by the Gentiles. They were repopulated by the Gentiles. They were dominated by the influence of the Gentiles. They were the ones that were exposed to all this Gentile influence. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ went and ministered in that area. And what it tells us is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all people. God with us was not God with the Jews, it's God with the world. God with mankind. That's why Jesus was able to tell us Jesus told us clearly that he was the light to the world. You remember what Simeon said when he held the baby Jesus? He was a man waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was awaiting in the temple. And Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple to do those things under oblation of the law. And Simeon saw him. He lifted that child up and said, "Behold, my eyes have seen my salvation." He went on and said, "And this child shall be a light unto the Gentiles and the glory of Israel." So we have this illumination brought about by Jesus Christ to all people. Jesus is a Savior for everybody. A lot of people get hung up about the purpose of Israel and the purpose of the Jews. They were a vehicle to bring in a Messiah and a Savior for the whole world. Not only that, but we read in these passages in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, there was not only an illumination, there was a liberation. Now, Wednesday night, I've got seven, actually. I didn't get a chance to go through all seven. We may unpack them on Wednesday night. If you want to start a Wednesday night regimen, the first of the year, I invite you to do that and come. Actually, in these passages, we read about, first of all, a multiplication of nations, right? Isn't that what he says? We're talking about the ministry of the Messiah. How that those that sat in darkness would see a great light. There would be illumination of verse 2. Look at verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nations. Multiplied the nations. I believe there's no racial or spatial or national barriers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it's for all people. I believe it's for the whole world. But we've got the multiplication of the nations there in verse 3. We also have the liberation. And there being this great exhilaration of joy. I'm thankful for the liberation that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we believe that through the death and through the burial and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you can be set free from sin. You can be set free from the consequences and the payment of sin. You can be set free from the domination of sin. You can be liberated from sin's control over your life through the power of the blood of Jesus. Absolutely, we believe that. Jesus said, if the Son sets you're free indeed. And through that liberation... Yeah. He talks about Gideon... back in the book of Judges, where the people of Israel were liberated by the oppression of the Midianites, how that they were set free and they were liberated through this judge or through this deliverer. And Gideon, a phenomenal thing. You know, he was working and hiding, and because of the oppression, they had no liberty and they were being oppressed. Listen, that's how the human race is. We're oppressed by sin. Yes, we're suffering. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you are dominated by sin. It controls you. Anyway, the Lord called him out and he was given some specific instructions. Take a little band of men, about 300. Go up on a hillside, divide them up in three quadrants and stand out there. And they had to break that vessel. Listen, what we actually do as a church, we break our vessels, don't we? Yeah, we have these earthly vessels that the Spirit of the Lord lives inside of, that the light of God is within us. And when we break these earthen vessels, what happens? The light shines out of us. And Jesus said, by that process, we'd be the light of the world. And we just stand out on the hill and we hold up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we cry out, the sword of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, some way, through the foolishness of preaching, He saves those that believe. And they had this believing look in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you believe in Him with all of your heart, you'll be set free. You remember when you felt the weightiness of sin upon your life? How it was pressing you down almost to the point of destruction. And you got to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You looked to the cross. You got to the cross. Like John Bunyan described, Christian on his way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. He got to the cross. And when he got to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that burden of sin, it just rolls off your back, rolls down to the tomb, and you don't see it anymore. That load is off of me. Is it off you? You talk about a liberty in life, a liberty in death, an eternal liberty. We're free. And we need to stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set us free. Anyway, so we've got this illumination, the multiplication of nations, this exhilarating joy.
the joy. I don't have time to get into this, but Jesus said, He said, I'm giving you my joy. That you might have my joy. The church has the joy of Jesus. Have you ever considered the joy of the church on the day of Pentecost? They had so much joy they thought they were drunk with new wine on the day of Pentecost. Amen? I mean, people that got saved, there was this exhilaration of joy that came into their life. Even people out there that weren't part of Israel, they got saved. Remember Philip when he went down there to beat the Ethiopian eunuch? Remember that? Down in Gaza, I couldn't think of the town. He'd go into the desert, go down in that desert. He went down there and there was this Ethiopian eunuch, and he was riding in a chariot, you know, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip was instructed by the Holy Ghost to join himself to that chariot. He joined himself to that chariot. He was reading out of the prophet Isaiah, and he preached unto him, Jesus! He was one of the first ones to get saved in a moving vehicle. He got saved right in that chariot. Yeah. And they stopped, and he said, here's water, what here's meant to be baptized. And Philip baptized him. And what does the Bible say? That he was caught up in the Spirit, and he went out. He went rejoicing! Rejoicing! He had joy like he had never had before! I'm talking about joy unspeakable and full of glory, people. Amen. That is only found in Jesus. Jesus would bring this great illumination. He also would bring this multiplication of nations. He would have, they would all that had this liberation would have this exhilarating joy. All of these things are in these passages of Scripture. But I need to move on. I'm going to talk to you just a few moments this morning. I was going to talk about the consummation of His kingdom. Let me just pause there where it talks about how that He would take all of these things that were used for war. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We destroy nations. We have victory over the nations through preaching the gospel of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what could change this nation? There's only one thing that can change this nation, and that's revival. Amen. I'm talking about the gospel. Amen. I'm talking about the blood. It can change this nation. Absolutely. Change any nation. Listen, Paul said that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds. Amen. He talks about in these passages how that the battle, every battle of the war is, verse 5, you know, the confusion and noise. You know, the devil has been trying to destroy the things of Jesus Christ ever since he was born in Bethlehem. He's been trying to destroy the church, but he can't. You know why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. You can't grasp it. You can't lay hold upon it in that sense. You can't destroy it. You know why? Because it starts in the hearts of men. You have to be born again to see it. You got to be born again to enter it. Amen. It's a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of joy. Amen? It's a spiritual kingdom. Anyway, all those things are just used to fire. We may get that Wednesday night. But now, let me get to verse 6. For unto us, the humiliation. Not only the consummation of His kingdom, but the humiliation. I need to just pause here just a few moments. This is really the only thing I like about Christmas. Is that it reminds us of His birth. It reminds us of His incarnation. It reminds us that this is the fulfillment of God being with us. Emmanuel. Look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, just for a few moments. There's one thing I'm as sure of as anything. I'm as sure of it as the angels of heaven were. That Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. The divine determination of Jehovah God to save this world could not be overthrown. Wednesday night, I had a map. We didn't get to this, but I had a map of the Assyrian Empire. 100 years after this prophecy about God being with Jerusalem. See, God was trying to affirm the fact that His Son was going to be born. He was affirming it and showing that the prophecy that He was declaring could not be overthrown. No matter how bad things get, what God has promised, He will perform. And you look at a map of the Assyrian kingdom, 100 years after the prophecy of Isaiah, I mean, the Assyrians had conquered the entire Middle East. I have it on a map, and I mean, all the way down into Iran, Iraq, Babylon, all those different areas, all the way down the south, a part of the Mediterranean, Joppa, Tel Aviv, what is Tel Aviv now, all the way down into Egypt. I mean, the whole eastern countries was consumed by the Assyrians, with the exception of one little round place right there at Jerusalem. Conquered all that territory, but this one little spot. You know why that spot was preserved? Because of God. Amen. God had a point to make. And He made it. That this was going to be the place where God was manifest in the flesh. Where God would be seen of angels. Where God would be preached among the Gentiles. Where God would be called up to glory. This great mystery. This great place. Anyway, let me move on. This was God. Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God with us. I mean, it can't be made any clearer. The calling him Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophet and the prophecy of Isaiah of Emmanuel. Jesus is the equivalency of Emmanuel. Every time you hear a sermon or a lesson or you read something that is declaring the deity of Jesus Christ, it's just calling his name once again Emmanuel. God with us. This is pretty amazing. And when you think about it, Susie sang about it this morning. It's pretty overwhelming to think about him leaving, his throne. A throne that had the embodiment of the Shekinah glory. For him laying aside his regal robe, the place where angels encircled him constantly and called him holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and bowed before him. He who was omnipresent, present everywhere at all times. He who was omnipotent, that had all power in heaven and earth. For him suddenly to be in the womb of a virgin is a great mystery to me. He spoke all things into existence. And yet now he was unable to speak. He was never in want or in need of anything. And suddenly he's constantly in want, in need of everything. I don't know how to comprehend this. We're an infinite, intelligent spirit is suddenly a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. I just can't comprehend that. Really can't. Think about how vulnerable, And I want to go to say this, but I think it was. I saw a Josh Clark feeding Bentley the bottle Wednesday night. And you know, those of us that are have kids that are having kids, we're like, how are they going to do this? And then we think back, well, how do we ever do it? You know, if angels had fingernails, I think most of them started biting their fingernails about that time. Like Joseph, who, you know, hold his head up, you know, or Mary. I mean, he could have called on 12 legions of angels to change his diaper if he wanted to. I mean, you know, suddenly being subjected to some little girl that just had a child. I mean, to a kid, basically. I mean, that's what you think of, you know, 14-year-old, 15-year-old. To be subject unto that, be vulnerable unto that. You know, most young parents, I don't know if you remember, we didn't know what we were doing. Angie and I didn't. It's just by the grace of God that Aaron and turned out like he did. You know, by the grace of God. I remember one night he got to barking and coughing and carrying on and couldn't breathe. And it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And we both jumped up. We were young. You know, we jumped up and I went to the phone book and I looked up the pediatrician's number and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and I called Dr. Sinkush and I said, Dr. Sinkush, this is Tim Binion. And I said, Aaron's sick. Listen to him. You know what's wrong with him? And she said very calmly, you know, it's croup cough, going to the bathroom and turn on the hot water, sit in there, you know, he'll be fine. I said, okay, I'll see you in the morning. We went to the doctor's office that next morning. I said, Dr. Sinkush, thank you for taking my call last night. She said, I didn't take your call. See, angels help young parents. God helps young parents. Amen. I don't know who I called. But they knew the answer. You know? Bible actually prophesies that the angels be constantly watching him and protecting him that he not dash his foot. I mean, God was watching him. But to be subjected to that, can you imagine? Can you imagine? The one who spoke this world into existence, the one who holds this world together, all things were made by him and nothing exists without him. Suddenly be a baby and in need of everything. This is a great mystery. When we start examining the weakness and vulnerability of a child, but that's exactly what this passage says. For unto us a child is born. A child is born. One of our flesh. One of our bone. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I need to hurry and I'm going to close. The exaltation. We looked at the illumination of these passages, the multiplication of nations, the exhilaration of joy that it speaks of, the liberation that Jesus would bring, the consummation of His kingdom, the humiliation of Him being a child, but also in the following verse, we also find the exaltation. His name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't He wonderful? He's wonderful in the redemption that He has provided us. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His death was wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful. His ascension is wonderful. Him being seated at the right hand of the Father, all of that's wonderful. Being saved is wonderful. Being a child of God is wonderful. Being part of His church, everything associated with Him is wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, how wonderful it is. There's a constant series of wonders that attend Him. Everything associated with Jesus. Listen, you want to make your family life wonderful? You want to make your home life wonderful? You want to make your life wonderful? You just need to come to the one who is wonderful. Come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful. Counselor, it just stands to reason. You know, we fail because of the counsel of the devil. Amen. He was a serpent. In the garden, He gave us bad counsel. And we heeded that bad counsel. It just stands to reason that we could be redeemed through the counsel of Jesus. My entire ministry is simply telling people of the counsel that Jesus has given us. That if you repent of your sins and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be saved. Amen. All I'm doing is trying to share the counsel of Jesus. That if you'll believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. I'm just pointing you to the counsel of Christ. Listen, that counsel will rearrange your life. It'll transform you, won't it? If you'll submit to the gospel of Jesus, the counsel that He gave, it'll fix your life. Not only is He counselor, but He's the mighty God. Listen, every appellation, every statement, every comment made, every name given to Jehovah God in the Old Testament applies to Jesus. Every one of them. He's El Shaddai. He's Shiloh. He's Jehovah Jireh. All of those statements and names of the God of the Old Testament, all of them apply to Jesus. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the foundation and founder of all things. He created all things. And my friend, He is the Prince of Peace. I guess what we need to do more often than what we do is we need to exalt Him. The exaltation. Wonderful Counselor. Is he all those things in your life? He is in mine. If you want peace, you're going to have to come to Jesus. Let's get a song. I'm glad He came. Are you? He is the wonder of wonders. He is the Counselor of counselors. He's counseled mankind concerning their sin. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You want a revelation of God, you've got to come to Jesus Christ. He came. A child was born. A son. The Son of God. The only begotten Son of God was given. He is the mighty God. And He is the Prince of Peace. If you want eternal life, you're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing, listen, He came. The Rose of Sharon came, didn't He? The Rod of Judah came. The Son of Righteousness came. The Light of the World came. And I'm glad I know Him today. Listen, He's with us. He is with us. When you go to heaven and you look at Jesus sitting on the throne, yes, you can say He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. But you can also say, behold the man. He's one of us, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He understands all of our suffering. He can relate to it. He is the mediator between man and God. He mediates peace. He establishes peace. He brings peace. He gives peace to those that seek it. If you'll seek the Prince of Peace, you can have peace today. Let's sing. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me this morning.
361, Headley Highway
Hill. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm talking about peace like a river flooding your soul. It can happen when you come to Jesus. Let's sing. Isn't His name wonderful? His name is wonderful. Jesus, our King.
I'm glad I know Him today as my Savior and my Lord. And I'm telling you, He's wonderful. There's no greater counsel than the counsel that's been given to mankind through Jesus Christ. That He is the mighty God that can do anything and everything. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power. All power is given to Jesus. That's why we worship Him. That's why at the end of each one of our prayers we say in the name of Jesus, right? We put that man, God element at the end of each one of our prayers. I wouldn't have left glory to come down and become a man. Not if I was God. But God's love is greater than us. Amen. It's another one of those mysteries. We can't comprehend it. Can't even relate to it. But He first loved us. That counselor that we get counsel from was in the determinate counsel of God. At the very beginning. Yeah. God bless you. Appreciate you being here today. I pray that God is glorified in these services. That the Son is lifted up in praise and in complete exaltation from our lives.